Duke Bags Takeover, number 3.
Get off the lawn.
You're the tool bag.
Take your shit off the stage.
There's a psychopath in the road. Y'all need to go get her before she gets run over. That broad, get off the lawn, for sure. One is ready to cradle the boys, and the other is ready to
crank the shaft.
Maybe there's a Goldberg that can come along and kick Kevin in a bit.
This sticker is inconvenient and dangerous, but I do love Fig Newtons.
She's a one-trick pony. It's a heck of a trick.
Used to do drugs, still does too.
Well, she can take a beating, that's for sure.
The escalator can never be temporarily out of order. It can only become stairs.
And then a beat style into his mouth.
In association with the Shining Wizards Network, Gorilla Brain Wrestling Podcast presents Rogue Day Tots. It's the Duke Bags Takeover number 3. It's almost like an in-your-house pay-per-view at this point. Like, you're just showing up and taking over, and it's like the main, you know, stable and everything is all gone. Like, Kevin survived the woods, but he's in the Hall of Fame now, I guess.
Right, yeah, he was out in Yellowstone. I was a little worried about him after seeing that video of the guy getting the business from the bison. But apparently he survived, but like you said, now he's off someplace else getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. 2 years in a row, that sounds a little suspicious to me. How are you going to get inducted into a Hall of Fame 2 years in a row?
That means it's too easy. That's what I'm going to say. You know, this, you know, it's way too easy. Kevin can do it 2 years in a row.
Well, I mean, Reggie White only got one jacket.
Right.
Best ever to do it. He don't deserve more than one.
He's getting up there like with some of the Shawn Michaels and let's see. Bret Hart is the first 3-time ever, which he's useless like Bret Hart to me. So maybe there's a Goldberg that can come along and kick Kevin in the head. That's what we'll. Well, Duke, it's great to have you again for another takeover. I know we talk figs, we talk a lot of random things. We'll just say, I'll leave it at that. We have a group chat with good old Ted that we can get off the rails, and toupee talk comes up, all sorts of things like of that nature. But again, great to have you here with us as we throw this down, you know, the day before it drops, because schedules and life and all the fun that.
Yeah, life's crazy, man. Well, this is a fresh episode. How about that?
Yes, it's a very fresh episode. This is going to be off the cuff, off the rails, all these things. We'll get into it. We kick this off with the get off my lawn. I can defer the floor to you, or I can get on this, because I'll probably be much more heated. Like, I will say this about my friend Duke here. There's a lot of things that's water off a duck back. Like, you just, all right, just and go on with it. You know, you put up with Kevin for, you know, close to 40 years now. Like, it's
wow,
approaching that, you know. And it's just like, you just had to roll off, you know, just be the 10,000 day champ and call it a day, right?
Right. We've had some good times, you know.
Oh, a blast.
But yeah, it's always fun joining you. And yeah, I just got a few things to kick off the lawn. I could start it off here. We'll start off with kicking Kev, and we'll throw Johnny Klintzman off the lawn as well. Both of these guys, they're our colleagues on this channel. We love them. But they're making a habit of calling in sick or going someplace else. And, you know, do I got to remind you guys, I recorded, you know, my last vacation. I just take we have laptops. They're portable. All this gear is portable. I actually kind of enjoy checking in with you guys when I'm on vacation. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is only the third time out of 130-something that you've had to tag me in, so Kevin's still got a pretty good completion percentage, as it were. But
yeah, yeah, the batting average is high.
We'll see. Still pretty high.
Yeah,
and I shouldn't be too hard on Johnny. I know you had a scheduling conflict, and thanks to Brundle for filling in. But I got to borrow one from you here.
Yeah,
they got to do something about this election business.
You're getting right. Now,
yeah, I mean, you were getting them like last year when it wasn't even a regular election year, but now I'm getting them every day. texts, emails, calls. Something tells me they shouldn't be allowed to harass us like this. I mean, this is the only country I've ever lived in, but it seems like they're allowed to really be in your face in this country. Every time I go onto YouTube to watch something, I get, you know, this candidate sucks, this candidate is going to restore the state to its excellence, you know, and I'm sure everybody's is routed to their local elections.
Oh, yeah.
Just knock it off, man. They're not going to knock it off, but it could definitely get off my lawn because just a whole lot of, you know, vote for me, you piece of shit stuff coming my way.
Yes.
And
yeah, very.
It's rude. All the same. It's yeah. All the same.
Yeah, none of them care about you. That's the fun part. It's like not a one of them care about you. They say they will because they want you to, you can identify with me and I can, you know, get your vote. You know, that's ultimately what they want. But yeah, it's they've started up again here, like the text, because we've got an election coming up later in the month, one of these little local elections, and that's they're peppering in like vote for this person's school board place 3, you know, get, you know, give our kids a chance. And
you know, you would think that they'd be able to pass some sort of a privacy act where they wouldn't be able to, you could call it harassment because we're not asking for it, right? I think in the past they've actually passed laws in relation to telemarketers and stuff like that, which is what this is,
right?
So it's not all in the realm of like stuff that can't be changed, but
it's not the person seeking election calling. It's, you know, it's not them, you know, reaching out like, hey, I am candidate ABC here, and I'm, you know, I want to do this, 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 and this. You know, I'd like to, you know, ask for your vote, whatever date, you know, for this place, whatever, you know. It's not even that in the voicemail. It's somebody calling on behalf of this that, you have paid solicitors, and are you tired of this? Are you tired of that? Orange man good, orange man bad, you know, that kind of stuff. Like it's like this is endorsed by this person. This is endorsed by this person. Like just get off the lawn, you bums.
That I'll get off of this in a second, but how we get nailed with ads too.
Yes.
I did a little bit of a deep dive into this, and there are laws in many other like advanced countries in Europe where that type of whatever you want to call it is illegal. You can't just flood the airwaves with the stuff, you know, 8-10 months in advance. I think they let you campaign for like a month or so, which would make sense. Whatever. I'll get off of that. But related ads. So another easy target, but I went to SummerSlam last weekend in Minneapolis. Had a great time. There's some good action. But man, maybe because it's not called a pay-per-view anymore, it's called a premium live event.
Right.
Maybe that's justification for having ads in between everything. When you're watching it and when you're there live.
Yes.
They're shoving ads down your throat. So maybe the semantics of changing it from a pay-per-view to a PLE, you get what I'm saying here? Because I remember back in the day, pay-per-views are just, you know, match, backstage segment, match. None of those were advertising to me. Maybe at the beginning, Super Soakers presented SummerSlam, right?
Right.
But it's just completely taken over. I don't think it was quite as bad as Mania 42. Of course, I wasn't at Mania 42 in person.
Right.
But there's ads all over the ring. Hometown boy Chad Gable's trying to celebrate with his family. And
then
it's too much. It takes away, man. There shouldn't be piss breaks in between every match,
yeah.
Which is what I did because I'm not going to sit there and watch an ad, you know.
Yeah, the mug root beer creature comes out there when Gable's trying to give his impassioned speech and like trying to, yeah, you got to pour this on yourself. You got to celebrate with mug root beer because that's what.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah.
But like it.
It was. So that took away a little bit from the experience. Just the oversaturation of ads in this era. I think it's probably wrong to say that I miss Vince, so I'm not going to say it. But things weren't like this when he was running it.
There's less of a governor. See, that's the thing, that it goes back to the WCW days for me. Because when these guys got on there, that, I forgot which pay-per-view it was, when it ended with Piper and Hogan signing the match contract. You know, Hollywood Hogan and Piper were going to fight, and then they're just going back and forth. And with Vince McMahon, it had been like, all right, cut it off now. Like, it's done. There was no governor. They go on for 15 minutes chirping at each other, back and forth. And it's like, it's getting worse, guys. Like, y'all dove into the bag. Now stop. You know, sometimes you got to put the shovel down when you're digging a hole. Like, you know, why is the hole getting deep? Well, put it down first. You need a governor on the, you need a governor on commentary. You need a governor on, you know, promos. You need a governor on the ads.
It seems like we've kind of reached a place, like, the best way I could put it is, like, just because something is available or just because you can do something doesn't mean that you should.
Right.
That applies to the world in general, but I don't know. It's just it's a totally different thing than it used to be, even, I mean, with professional sports.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, just because that ad revenue is available, they can't say no to it. That's where we're at, I guess.
It's going to turn into, if you've seen Talladega Nights, Ricky Bobby sold the windshield. But this sticker is inconvenient and dangerous, but I do love Fig Newtons.
Yeah, we're kind of there.
I mean, the ring is covered. I could get like a title sponsor or something and give them a spot on the canvas, but like every, it seems like it's going to be eventually every square inch of that canvas is sold.
It would probably have been considered blasphemy back in the day.
Yes.
I got to believe that idea was proposed to Vince long before somebody gave it the green light.
Yeah. And I'm with you. I think that, like, you know, SummerSlam brought to you by Super Soaker, and they might have a Super Soaker.
The blimp.
Yeah. But they might have one or two little spots in the whole show. You don't have to space it out two nights. You've got so many ads. It's like you'd have the maybe one or two little snippets in the whole show, and that's it. It's done. Like, back to wrestling. If you gave me two matches in a row now, that's one of the things. This is on my list. But if you gave me two matches in a row now, I would be shocked and thrilled to not have to, you know, some commercial, something. I mean, even if it's just like the promo videos and then go into the match, that would be tremendous. I would welcome this.
Right. My biggest issue is that this is on the big shows.
Yeah.
You expect it when it's on television because that's how they pay their bills.
Yes.
But yes, different world, man. Don't like it. Otherwise, at SummerSlam, like I said, it was a good time. I got to ask you, do you kick the Danhausen business off the line, or did you
There's stuff on my list for the Raw or SmackDown. It was either Raw or SmackDown before SummerSlam. When him and Joe Hendry came out, I believe it was Raw, now that I think about it. And they're singing the song, that I Believe That You Are Cursed.
Mm-hmm.
It's very high on my list of, like, okay, I'm done. I'm off of it. You have successfully jumped the shark with Danhausen in my book. Like, I am over it.
I'll try not to totally steal your thunder here, but that was a definite low light of the event. I guess the justification is, like, this guy is very popular, especially with the young folk, right? It's all about fun and games and such. But, I mean, if we had Rogue on here, he's a guy who's a stickler for the rules when he wants to be,
right?
I guess. But, okay, Danhausen is the face. Dominic is the heel.
Right.
All the odds were against Dominic.
Mm-hmm.
Dominic is facing four or five guys at a time. It's just all out of whack. I mean, the match was just kind of a throwaway. It was supposed to be like a novelty match. I get that, but that was the low light for me.
It was one that Dominic Mysterio has came on so hot as of late, and he's putting on quality matches, and that's not a guy that you're going to get a quality match out of on one of your big four shows. Mm-hmm. He's holding a belt with AAA right now, like the mega champion. I do not follow AAA, so I'm not going to try to besmirch it. But I know, like, it's a big deal. Like, the belt he holds in AAA, like, it's a big deal. And you just kind of run him out there as a little bit of a sideshow thing that it did not do anything other than, I guess, please some of the sickos that are out there. That, you know, like, this is the wrestling that they like, you know, with Danhausen and with everything like that. But, all right, whatever.
Yeah, you would think they would have been able to do a tweak where Dominic is able to escape with the monies, you know.
Right.
Do some sort of heel business. I don't know. But outside of that, just got a couple more quick items. So I'm a music guy. I'm gonna kick a few, you know, music types off of my lawn here.
Oh yeah.
So there's some musicians who lose the plot at shows. These are shows that have multiple acts on them. They lose the plot. They leave their gear on stage with another band on deck, holding up the whole show. I was at a gig a couple days ago, and some joker was actually bragging about this, you know, rock and roll sin.
Right.
Before that, I figured it was a cool guy, you know, enjoyed what he was playing. But he can get right off my lawn. That's a rock and roll ticket right there. Take your shit off the stage if you got a band coming up after you. This is like common sense stuff. So those folks can get off the stage
yeah,
first
the stage.
And the lawn. But also, musicians who like overplay or throw shit in there for no reason. I mean, not everybody is the Who. The Who could get away with it. There was a certain kind of insane magic with especially what their bass player and their drummer did. But your ultimate job is to kind of service the song. And just a quick example here. So I was playing a gig, different gig, yesterday. And we're playing a song. And out of nowhere, bass guy decides he's going to go into The Chain by Fleetwood Mac. Because the song is in the same key. It's like, okay, whatever. But it doesn't follow the same sort of rhythm. So it's like, I got to think extra hard to make sure we come out of this part because this joker is bored with his part.
Yeah.
So he's dicking around. Yeah, that could get off the lawn. Like I said, I mean, if you're in a jam band, okay. If you're the Who, okay. You can get away with it in some arenas, but in most cases, I heard a guitar player, I think one of your guys, Steve Cropper.
Yeah.
I heard a quote that, this isn't an exact quote, but he said that, you know, he started getting twice as much work when he started playing half as much.
Yes.
Which is something that's a little mind-boggling to a lot of music people, but it makes a lot of sense. You know, you play less, what you play means more. So I'd never kicked musicians off the lawn before. There's just a couple cases that got on my nerves this past week.
It's not having appreciation for anyone else's time to do some of the things that they're doing. Like, you leave your gear out there. I'll get into the concert stuff. We went to a concert the other night here in town, though, and that's one of the things. As soon as the band finished, you know, they're kind of giving the wave farewell to the crowd, and they're breaking stuff down, like getting it off stage out of the way and setting up the next band so they can go on and keep the thing moving.
That's what you do, yeah. Sometimes I do gigs where we play the full night. When you do that, you're always kind of gambling because you have to take breaks, and oftentimes you lose crowds when you take breaks, you know. Well, anyways, wrapping up the lawn, so I log into my online banking, few days ago. I was just expecting a direct deposit. And I see that there's a $498 charge that I didn't make. That's pending. So apparently somebody got a hold of my banking information. And then I went and looked back. Earlier in the day, they had taken out 10 cents, and then they took out a dollar. They were just creeping up, you know, towards the big haul. And fortunately, I was able to catch it on time, and I did what I was supposed to do, and they were able to do a stop charge on it. But man, folks stealing personal information, get off the lawn.
Yes.
That's another kind of scary thing about the world we're living in, is like all of my info is on this computer and this phone.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever did that got it from one of these devices. Probably. How else are you going to get my banking information?
Right.
You know? Yeah, that's kind of something you didn't always have to worry about. But I'm glad that I caught it in time and it wasn't a whole thing. I got ripped off once before, probably about 10 years ago. Someone broke into my car and I happened to have checks in there.
Yeah.
And they wrote some bad checks. And then the financial institution, which I don't bank with anymore, really blamed me for having checks in my car. So, but that was like, you know, the last generation of ripping people off. Like these days, you hack into their bank account or whatever you do. But yeah, man, criminals in general, I don't know. I'm guessing there's probably, maybe there's drugs involved or you're just not a great person. With me, I'd have a hard time living with myself if that's what I'm doing for money. Just ripping people off.
That definitely takes me into one of my lawns, a previous lawn, and then they're back at it again because I'm getting the calls from the bank that someone's trying to charge this much on your account. And I open up the apps on my phone, like it's not pending anywhere. It's not showing. They have cloned the actual bank phone number that you're supposed to call.
Oh, geez. Oh, I remember you talking about this happening. Yeah.
Well, they've done that again. Like they left me a voicemail the other day. I was like, no, the bank will not call
you. Bank, don't do that. No.
Yeah, they don't call you on this because basically all they want you to do is call them back. Well, no, I didn't spend this. Okay, well, let's set up your security. Let's basically, we're going to reset your password. We're going to firm it up. It wasn't to the level this time because I did not give them the time of day. But yeah, the scammers, especially because one of Cassie's dads, they've got an elderly neighbor. They have conned this poor lady. Because your son is in trouble. He owes us money. We're going to hurt him if you don't pay this. And it's always like you get it in the Visa gift cards. You go and buy Visa gift cards, like different things that it's like you're not just paying them money directly because you can trace it back to them. But if you send them gift cards, it's like when they wanted me to pull the cash out of my account, which I did because they could see the exact balance of my account. I was like, well, you can't touch it if it's gone already. They want me to put that in an envelope and send it to them.
I remember this now. Didn't you put it in a box?
Yeah. I was like, nope, I've got it in a safe. Well, my money's safer with me. Well, sir, we really need you to, in order to set up your account safely, we need you to send this. Like, they were getting frantic because they thought, I was like, oh, we've hooked this guy. We're going to get his money. No problem. No, you're not going to touch it. I have successfully pulled it out because something broke in the system where you got a hold of my information. Yeah, these pirates, these slackers that, want to take from others. Come on, man. Get off the lawn.
Closing that account and opening a new one.
Which is always fun when it comes time for bills again because you've got to.
Oh, yeah.
I've got to reset all of this.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Yeah. I look back a little further, actually, and I have one of my credit cards is linked to that account. It's one of those rewards deals where it will automatically credit you, at the end of a cycle or whatever. So I look back a few days and I saw that I had been credited 50 cents a couple times. So I figured because it was a credit that didn't set off an alarm.
Right.
But the bank said that likely came from the same place. So they're getting clever with how they go about their business, but it's just a little unsettling. It's like everything's more convenient than ever, so that's cool, but we pay a price for it, you know.
Yes, we definitely, for the convenience, have to deal with these nefarious types.
Well, that was a little long-winded, but I mean, things are pretty good. But those, you know, the ads, the political folks stealing my money,
yeah,
musicians violating the code, they can all get off my lawn.
Well, I've covered the Danhausen, Joe Hendry, the I Believe You Are Cursed, and my bank scam. So those are out of the way. That they definitely, both of that can get off the lawn. Like the dancing girls on the I Believe You Are Cursed. Like they had a dance team out there. And I'm like, what are we doing? Like this is the dumbest. This is one of the worst things I've ever seen.
So are those two guys, those seem like kids characters, right?
Yes.
Is that why they're getting the...
Yeah, I believe so. They're both over with this new era of wrestling fan.
I don't mind seeing Joe Hendry. Cool. But when he came out, I heard a bunch of high voices singing along with him.
Yeah.
So that told me he was, you know, he appeals well with the kids.
Yeah,
he's which they need the kids, certain, I guess, but...
Yeah, he's over with a certain demographic of fan. They're not trying to make long-term fans anymore. I'll just say that. We talk about that quite frequently at work from time to time as we watch 80s wrestling videos still. So we went to a concert a couple weeks back. Kevin would kick me off the lawn for this because the wife got tickets to a Creed concert. So we went and nice. saw, it was Hinder, Mammoth, and Creed, which Mammoth was a fun show. It was so much fun. I had forgotten that was Eddie Van Halen's kid, and we had a great time. But as we're leaving, I went to the Creed show because a buddy of mine is deployed right now, and so I was like, you know, we can Snapchat on occasion. So I was sending him videos from the concert and the One Last Breath song by Creed is like one that he has sent us several times. He and his wife have been to see them a few times. Very inebriated, scream singing to us. So I just sent him the video of Scott Stapp singing. And he may have replied with a video of them driving down the roads in Africa, playing Creed full blast for the people to be exposed to it.
Kevin and I saw Creed back in like 98 or 99. My parents took us. It was one of the first shows we went to, and there were several inebriated folks in the parking garage yelling, "Fucking Creed, man," and that's stuck with us.
It's there were plenty there as OG runs in right now. There were plenty of the inebriated variety. Like it's the number one divorced dad rock band out there. That's what they, that's one of their big claims to fame right now. But as we're leaving the concert, it was a fun show. Like it was actually, you know, hey, I like live music. And
they had some good ones.
Oh yeah. I just enjoy concerts, man. Like if, you know, going to hear live music, that's something that, we take for granted sometimes, and enjoying a show like that. As we're leaving the venue, it's an outdoor amphitheater. It was Creed concert in July in Alabama.
Ooh.
It's spicy. But as we're leaving the concert, the way out to Research Park where they've got this is where the old mall, like some of the footprint of where the old Madison Square Mall used to be. And the lady on a cut through road, it's like walking in the middle of the road, and she's like running at cars like a psychopath.
Oh, geez.
There might have been some additives in her diet, additives in her bloodstream, so to speak. But she was
likely.
Yeah, that lady, you know, and charging at cars. Yeah, she can get off the lawn. I wish, you know, if I'd have had something to, you know, might have clipped her with or something, but they're like telling the, one of the cars in front of us is stopping to tell the police, like, hey, yeah, there's a psychopath in the road. Y'all need to go get her before she gets run over, because she's running directly at the car right now. That bird, that broad, can get off the lawn for sure. This kid of mine can get off the lawn right now. He's trying to run in. He's asking me about toys and everything in this office.
And OG making a guest appearance over there.
He's making a guest appearance, pointing a wrestler out of the ring right here. He just knocked over half of them. He wants this guy. It's JYD with the actual Harley race robe.
Oh, the King JYD. What was that, WrestleMania 3 or 4?
That's the 3 when he fought Harley Race and took the crown and the robe. He's got the white hat on there.
Man, I'll never forget when Kevin totally forgot that Hacksaw King Haku existed.
Yeah, by Hacksaw himself. And it's like, well, okay, thanks. Yeah. The San Francisco Giants wore, like, they have apparently a Grateful Dead night promotion on the 28th of July. They wore the uniform. And those things were god awful and get off the lawn just in general.
Tie dye?
Yeah, well, it had tie dye accents. Like tie dye on part of the bill. So it's like an orange bill. They wear a black hat with an orange bill, and it had like just a splotch of purple. Not that you can tell it was tie dye. It didn't look right. Like the lettering, like they had funky lettering, but it was like a big giant white blob with the trim in orange on black uniform that had purple splotches, and it just looked awful. I was like, I'm writing that down. That's off the lawn. It's just, no, stop it. Like, either make the whole jersey tie-dye or don't do it at all.
Right. Go have to check that out. That sounds real ugly.
It was orange and purple with their black and white. Like the black uniform with white letters, white numbers and everything, and then orange and purple tie-dye around it. It's not working. Like, do a orange and black tie-dye jersey with white letters and numbers. That'd be perfect. But no, right. you made it hideous. When it comes to SummerSlam, man, I'm over Liv Morgan. Like, she is the Mercedes Moné of WWE. Like, I don't think she's that good. I don't think she's talented at all. Like, she's appealing to look at. That's
oh, yeah. all
you've got going for you, as far as I'm concerned. And Wade Barrett commentating at all, like, just is grating to my ears now, because it's almost, he's got some Shivani qualities, man. Like, and it's not good ones. Like, they were talking about EO and Liv's match. It's like, basically, people be talking about this match in 25 years, how great it was. And it's like, the match was okay. It was not anything to write home about. It was fine. But, and then Liv's post-show interview and antics, I'm just like, just get her off my TV. Like, I'm to the point of Mercedes Moné. Like, if I see it on TV, I'm going to go do something else, because I don't want to watch it. I don't think she's that talented. I don't think she's that. It's like, you know, some of the women in there, like Tiffany Stratton, to me, I'm not hating on her. She's a one-trick pony. It's a heck of a trick. Like, it's like that moonsault is something else. But it's, to me, I'm like, you're just kind of a one-trick. You're not complete to me. You're not one that's going to go in there and make somebody else better in the match. Like, they can shine you up and highlight you, but I need more Bayley on my TV. That's the bottom line. When it comes to women's wrestling. But Wade Barrett, as far as I'm concerned, can just get all the way off the lawn, his commentary. I don't know if they're trying to force it. I don't know what's going on in the headsets. But I'm like, he should just stop talking. Like, there's every once in a while you'll make a good point. I'm like, all right, yeah, now stop there. But don't try to add any more to it. Just stop, Wade, just stop. And it's to the point of
yeah. See, I arrived late on night one, so I guess I didn't miss too much that women's title match, huh?
It was I mean, it was a fine match. Like, I'm not a huge fan of Io or Liv anymore, like, just being honest with you. I was never overly impressed with Liv at any point in her career. I know she's tough. Like, I know she can take a beating, that's for sure. But I don't think she's that talented in ring. She's just appealing to look at, which, I mean, that sells.
Right.
That sells. But, yeah.
And I guess seeing it in person, I didn't have to listen to Wade Barrett, so that was a plus.
That's good for you. That's good on Yuri. Got one more road thing, because I'm at the store and pulling out of a parking lot, and you know it's one of those, the aisles are one way, and it's one of them. I'm pulling out to go, and I'm stopping. Well, this car, like, he turns on his blinker and he starts yelling at me. He's like, "It's one way." And I'm like, "Yeah, it's this way." You know, like, I'm going correctly. You're an idiot right now. Like, it's, and then he realized that, well, he turns his blinker off, then, like, cuts past me and goes up the next aisle. But it's like, yeah, you're the tool bag. You know, like, figure out how to read, like, those arrows, the point. That's the direction the traffic's going in, bud. Yeah. My Braves not doing squat at the trade deadline, really. Just kind of, that can get off the line. Like, this is a team that I'd had high hopes for and hope they can compete in the playoffs, but at the same time, you did not strengthen your team. You did not add some pieces. You know, I'm just, come on now. Do better. Like, that can get off the line. And then the last one for me, have you ever had anybody tell you, either implying it or otherwise, at work, basically, I can't do that. You need to get somebody that's not in a job of a need-based function. But basically, I'm too important.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. After said person had volunteered to do the job that we were asking them to do in front of leadership. They volunteered for it. And then it's like, well, you really need to get somebody that's not a need-based function to do that. It's like, nah, bro. Like, you said, well, we will do that for you guys. If you need it, we will do that. So we call you on it, like, hey, we need you to do this job. Without going into great detail, that entire office of need-based function folks just to get off the lawn, man. It's, you know, you're on your high horse. You want to look good for leadership. You want to make a good impression. And I've been told several times, well, they're doing their best. Well, their best sucks. Like, we need to find somebody else that can do this.
Right. Yeah, I got kind of a similar gripe. There's this gal at work. Good looking gal. She's got the Liv Morgan effect, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, she just recently became the head of the department, and she's supposed to be our first contact for items, right? And me and the other guy who report up to her, she never gets back to us, ever.
Right.
So that's kind of the same sort of message I'm getting, is like, you know, I'm too important for this. But this is what you got promoted to.
Well, the thing we're having to do is brought on by this said office as well. But the arduous task, the extra we're having to do our jobs, which, if I'm considering it, what we're doing for quality and safety type, you know, inspection, is a need-based function.
Right.
You sitting in your office because you don't want to do this, because it's not a fun thing to do. But it's like, you volunteer, like, get in here, put your money where your mouth is, you know. But
yeah,
that one junk. If I had my coworker that I work with a lot on this to talk about it, his would be much more visceral toward it. Particular office just is, has been a bane of his existence, the thorn in his side on every step of everything.
Mm.
And then try to come off like, well, he's difficult to work with. But yeah, Just keep crapping on it. Imagine that.
Yeah, we're a couple of generally like laid back guys, you know. But the other guy who works in the department with me, he's been there longer, and several times a week he'll unload on me about this gal, you know. That's what happens is, you know, one person doesn't do their thing, and then all of a sudden it's making, you know, I'll listen, but I'm not like, you know, that's not a highlight of my day to listen to my buddy bitch because somebody else isn't doing what they're supposed to, you know. But
we'll leave the lawn left here manicured and all these things, and we'll get into our, as Kevin calls it, the loaded question right quick. I've got you one. We usually do music on here, but I'm going to throw you a little bit of a curveball again, off the cuff. Is there a comedian's bit that could be older, could be past, that still gets you today? Like, you know, a bit from a stand-up show, anything like that. I go back to, so during COVID, when Cassie was infecting Owen, that is when we discovered Bert Kreischer, like his stand-up on Netflix. No, some people aren't as big of a fan. But for some reason, those hit so hard, like the Secret Time special is one. He talks about different things, like, you know, talks about making his dad laugh. Like, some of those particular bits, like when he gets his wife all pajamas, when his dad craps his pants at a Banana Republic, like, you know, all these different things, that like bits of that show, like, I still laugh hysterically. The one that gets me though is from a show we went and saw, Razzle Dazzle, and I won't give the whole punchline away, but basically he and his dad are two very different people, and for his daughter's birthday, she wanted them, like her grandparents, to go with them to an escape room just to see Bert and his father interacting with one another.
Mm-hmm.
They have to crawl through a crawl space in one point of it, and Bert's anxiety hits, and he just lets out like a death wind, just a silent fart, like human centipede style, into his father's face. And the rant that comes off,
that's
there,
that bit
gets me every time. And he's just like, he's like, your side of the family. He looks at him, you're going to see a doctor. Like, it's like it just came out like a hot wind, like a curse coming out of a sarcophagus. Just, oh. That's one of the bits that, man. And then basically anything from the old Mitch Hedberg days, dude.
That's the first guy that came to mind, actually. Should we give a moment of silence?
Yeah.
Mitch Hedberg? All right. Yeah, he actually went to high school about a mile and a half down the road from where I'm at right now.
Okay.
Harding High School in St. Paul. Mitch Hedberg, he used to do drugs, still does too. That's what got him, so.
Yeah.
Give him a little moment of silence.
Moment of silence. I'm just playing Mitch Hedberg bits in my head now. That's the thing that gets me.
Yeah, that was the one that popped to mind first for me, because I guess because of the immediacy, you know, you just need to hear a minute of him, and he's cracked out like 10 jokes, you know.
Yes.
They're all kind of non sequitur one-liners, you know. Every book's a children's book if the kid can read.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
I like Kit Kats unless I'm with four or more people.
Yeah, like his cadence, Andrew Schultz, which it's not the same delivery or anything like that, like Mitch's, but Andrew Schultz, like his cadence, like he just keeps hitting you. It reminds me a lot of that. Like he talks about he's got the one bit, I love it. It's talking about, it's like, blackface is wrong. Can't do it. He's like, but then you see the Navy SEAL ads, and it's like, well, you know, sometimes he talks about, well, he goes through the crowd. He's like, blackface is wrong, can't do it. And people are like, oh, because he was asking, you know, African Americans in the crowd. He said, I have to ask the black faces you know, like if it's wrong. But he goes through the thing and he's like, you know, you have the complexion you do. He's like, we're on a mission to save America. He's like, and it's 1 a.m. He's like, I feel like that's important for this part of the story. But he's like, you have your complexion. I have the complexion of an iPhone flashlight. You know, in the middle of the night, you know, they're going to see us. So you're going to have to paint me up with blackface. He said, you don't have to do the big lips and the tap shoes or anything like that. But, you know, you're going to have to. And like, it's just such quick deliveries and everything like that, that, you know, people can laugh at each other. That's one that I appreciate. But that's the way Mitch Hedberg was. That, man, like a minute in and he's hitting you with stuff that is just like, oh, it's brilliant. It's so quick. It's so brilliant.
Yeah, he was always one of my favorites. I mean, yeah, I once had a job as a hot tar roofer. Yeah, I remember that day. I got to give Rogue the credit. He discovered Mitch Hedberg before I did. And we would get together and hang out, and he'd just be rattling off these lines, you know, because they're all basically one-liners, so you can remember them, you know. And he and George Carlin were always kind of my favorites. I can always go back to both of them. I kind of wish Carlin was still around because he brought sort of a he was hilarious, but he was kind of a modern-day philosopher and kind of just, you know, let you know how and why everything was messed up and whatnot.
Carlin was one that he was ahead of his time on, like, you know, definitely like infusing philosophy into his bits. It's like thinking in general, like not even necessarily, you don't have to do critical thinking, just, you know, step back and, hey, think about this, guys.
Oh, his bit on voting is pretty out there, but it's hard to argue with.
Yeah.
Folks like to say, if you don't vote, you got no right to complain. Well, what sense does that make? If you vote and you put in corrupt, you know, folks who can't get the job done, you're to blame for that. But me, who sat at home and didn't cast a vote for either of these guys, you know, I'm not responsible for it. And he went on for about 10 minutes about it, but he could sell you on not voting.
Yeah, I still love his old classics, you know, I think it was like 7 words you can't say in church or 7 words you can't say at work or, you know, like different things like that. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you can, you know, you got a job as a handyman, like you could get all those in one sentence, really. Yeah. Carlin was great. I tell you one that, like, go back in the Wayback Machine, that his comedic style, Sam Kennison, which he yelled a lot, but Kennison was one. We had the Married with Children Christmas special on VHS, and he was Al's guardian angel.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
It was good stuff. And then his bit in Old School, the movie, like his acting bit as the history teacher. You know. He's like, well, anyone want to explain to the, you know, what happened in the, I think it was Vietnam, and like the girl gave the totally PC answer. It's like, is she right? It's like, I wish I could believe that, but I was there up to my knees in rice paddies. And, you know, just start screaming at her. And it's like, oh, pussies like you were back home doing drugs, putting headbands on. And he's just screaming at the poor, you know, student there. Oh, it's great.
Man. Yeah, Kinnison. He was another guy who died young.
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw this. This was not too long after Hedberg passed away, but I saw this picture that was circulating. You know, an escalator was temporarily out of order.
Yeah.
You know, one of his bits is an escalator can never be temporarily out of order. It can only become stairs.
Sorry for the convenience.
Sorry for the convenience.
Yeah.
Because he had a way of looking at things, which was hilarious, but yeah, he was one of my favorites.
Yeah, part of them could have been wind-aided, you know, from what was in his system. We'll just say that.
Right. Also, this is kind of a random one, but you turned me on to that Dan Soder character.
Yeah.
His impressions always get me. His wrestling guy impressions and whatnot is gold.
He would read Charles Manson quotes in the Macho Man voice like the promo. It's, oh my goodness. He had Sasso doing it as, like, you know, doing Macho, but then doing like Jesse the Body Ventura, which is Sasso's Jesse the Body is top shelf as well. Yeah. Those, like, reading Charles Manson quotes as that other voice, as it, as if it's a wrestling promo. Wow. I suppose we should get to the mission, which is brought to us by J&J Figures. Again, we're just having a good time here. We don't get to spend as much time like this. So, you know, Duke and I, we could reflect. But we got the 7-minute mission brought to you by J&J Figures. That's at jjfigures.com or J-A-N-D-J Figures across all social media and whatnot. But we're going to be jumping into the 7-minute mission. I have set the timer as well on this thing, so let me get that pulled up. As we are covering, it is, as we hit go, it is Superstar Series 9. Now, the last time Kevin and I did a mission, just to recap real quick, we did the Special Edition Series 5, and we agreed that we weren't going to do any, like, repeat. We were just going to give the grades if the whole line was a repeat. Well, this one is all new to me, as far as I can recall. So as we hit Superstar Series 9, it's the SummerSlam 99 figures. We'll start with old Vince. And I told you right off the cuff, like, he looks to me like an old Dick Tracy movie villain to me. Like the way that that frame, he's very stocky. Again, if you're on Wrestling Figure Database, you can look along. But SummerSlam 99, it's, man, it's not a great Vince in my opinion. No,
it's got like a striped, right, almost suit kind of get up happening there.
Yeah, and enormous at that. He looks big as a house.
Man. Random fun facts. So SummerSlam 99, last time we had a big show in the state of Minnesota.
Yeah.
Jesse the Body in that one.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, this Vince, I mean, the hair is good. The face, I don't know if I could really tell that was Vince if he was just, like, presented to me, you know. You kind of narrow it down because there's only so many figs with the suit on, right?
Yeah, it's closer to a Shane face to me.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But
what do you think on this one?
We gave it a C-minus, you know, overall on that. Well, the next one in this line, we've got Bob Holly of the Job Squad. He's rocking the Job Squad, the shorts, but then just a plain black tank top. I never remember Bob Holly in just a plain black tank top.
He must have just cut his hair too, because I remember early Job Squad Bob.
Yeah,
had the long hair.
Yeah, he had the long hair, and this is a far cry from it. It's the bleach blonde, everything that the short cut. On this one, we were a little higher than Vince. Just overall, the Job Squad, that's a fond memory for us. If you'd have put a Job Squad t-shirt, he'd probably been in the B range, but because you didn't, he got a C+. Well, we got two members of the Brood next. It's essentially the same body with a different face on each one of them.
Yeah.
You've got Christian and Gangrel here. The Christian face, I feel like they were trying for something, and they did not execute what they were trying to do.
Yeah, it's all wrinkled up. He's a pretty young man at this point.
Yeah, he looks so much older. Like, that's what I told you. It looks like the Hogan face if you would have there at the end with Hogan, you know, with the deep set, you know, age marks on his face. It looked closer to that without a mustache than it did Christian at this time.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you like the shades or not?
I'm okay with the shades just because it's accurate to that. Like, Christian at the time wasn't getting necessarily in the ring as much, so I'm a little bit more drawn to it. So we gave Christian overall just a flat B. And then we've got Gangrel. It's the same body with a different head. I mean, the same everything. He's got kind of that scrunched up the Gangrel face where he's sticking the tongue out and showing you the fangs.
He's got the fangs. That's good.
Yeah. And you pointed out like the nail polish, the black nail polish on this one to separate him from being the same. They both have giant hands, and it looks like one is ready to cradle the boys and the other one's ready to, you know,
crank the shaft.
Wood there.
That's a nice detail with the, he always had the black painted fingernails.
Yeah. Yeah. They would do little subtle things, but I hate the hair color on these. It's that mustard yellow. So we gave Christian a B. We gave Gangrel a B minus. Just, it's not there. The best figure we're going to talk about with this line right now, though, is the Paul White. Yes, I did not misspeak. It's Paul White as a figure, not Big Joe or the Jai or anything. It's actually just traditional. Like when he came in and they didn't have a set thing, they were just going to call him by the name, I guess, like the opposite of what WCW did with Nash and Paul back in the day. They called him Paul White, but he's in the polo with the jeans. It's kind of corporate Paul White. You pointed out he's oversized, and that's good.
That's a good thing. Yeah. His hands are huge.
Yes. Yes, it looks like he could do some damage, and they're both open for the choke slam. They do look to me like Maximum Sweat arms, almost like those hands mm-hmm. on the end. It's almost cartoon like in size, but
yeah, I was a little critical of the, you know, the polo and the pants, but yeah, you had mentioned at this time he was just you know, it matches the picture that's next to him. He was just kind of a enforcer associate at first. So yeah. I remember him looking like that. The face isn't bad either.
Yeah, it was a moment in time. That's one of the things I think that they captured here. You could have done some more with the beefiness of his body. I'm not saying he was huge at this time. He wasn't full-blown Big Show. But he was definitely a little bit bigger. Like, they made him kind of lean. And this is one of the few times I would say that the detail on the jeans took away a little bit. But overall, we gave it a B+. And the last one, as we've got about a minute left, the Sad Taker dons a robe this time.
Yeah, it's a robe. It's not the right robe, though.
No.
And he just had a goatee at this time. And right. They just left him with the same old, the same old beard that he's had. And I mean, I like that he has the robe, but they could have made a couple of small tweaks to make this a great figure, and they didn't. So
yeah, the red accents on the robe were a miss. It could have been solid black and been done with
or purple.
Yeah, but we gave it a B- and overall 81.2. As we wrap up right now, the 7-minute mission, right on time.
Right on. Yeah, that's how you do it.
Yeah. Kevin asked me one time, he's like, well, yeah, sometimes Duke, you know, will process things. And he's like, how are you getting it done in 7 minutes? I was like, we just do it. All right. Like, yeah.
Yeah, man.
Don't question the greatness. All right. Do you see these beards? Yeah, come on.
We're professionals over here.
Yeah.
That was fun, man. I still have a few of those figures. A few of those were in my Fig Fed back in the day, and we'd kind of been talking earlier. This was right around the time where the Fig Fed kind of went on hold as we were entering middle school and high school. So some of the last figs that I bought during the Fig Fed time that got some action were in this collection. So that was kind of fun to look at.
Yeah, this being I've got it here with me. It would have been dropping in, it looks like July of 1999. Mm-hmm. I would have been between my freshman and sophomore year of high school. So yeah, I definitely wasn't just getting all of the figs anymore. But
it was right around the time frame that Kevin and I are covering on this season of the year of.
Yep. Yeah.
The Ministry of Darkness forms, and then they align with the corporate ministry. Kind of a fun time, really.
It was. There's moments, like, I know you guys have looked back at this season, and there's moments that it's like I reflected in the nostalgia a lot higher than what the quality necessarily was, because there was moments that's like, Before this, you know, going back and watching some of these and then the current stuff, like, I used to enjoy hearing Jerry Lawler and Tony Schiavone, like, you know, not together, but separately call matches. And now it's just like, mm-hmm. Yeah, it was never good, was it? Never that.
At least they didn't have ads.
That's true.
Between every match and on the ring and on the tights or whatever they're doing now. But, yeah, something we've kind of discovered or rediscovered, too, is, like, all right, we just did two shows that were three weeks apart, and those 3 weeks in between, we had Austin, you know, holding up McMahon with the gun. We had Austin coming out on a Zamboni, and we had Austin visiting Vince in the hospital and then filling the car with cement.
Right.
So they're hitting it out of the park on the weekly TV. It's all memorable segments and stuff, but a lot of the in-ring stuff on the pay-per-views has been lackluster so far.
Yeah, it leaves something to be desired, like going back to it. And still, there's moments and segments and stuff that are like just pure gold. But I have appreciated like going back and watching stuff. And when you get like a true classic match, that's, you can really sink your teeth into, like, oh man, like they're selling everything. Like this whole thing paints a picture, tells a story. Like it's not just a, you know, finisher, kick out, you know. Like,
it's different. Yeah, that's what the main event scene is these days, is guess how many finishers it's going to take.
Yeah.
You know, there's no sense of urgency. We've bitched about that on our shows many times.
Mm-hmm. Well, we will get into the last segment here, trophies. I don't know if you've added anything to the wall as of late, whether it be if it is figs or collectibles or it's any experiences. I know that's one of the things. We still count that as a trophy of getting to go and see some different stuff.
Going to SummerSlam both nights. That was a trophy item. I ended up waiting until the day of so I could get some affordable tickets. And, yeah, I had a real good time. Got my mug on the television for a second or two. That was all right.
Yeah.
And it was kind of cool. I was, like, a couple feet away from good old Phil Brooks there.
Oh, like, yeah.
Unbeknownst to me, they were driving him out in one of those, like, covered carts. And then he and a security guy got out of it and, you know, were walking over to get interviewed on the post show. But that was cool. It's very rare that we get a big show here. And even though, you know, there's parts of the program that I just don't care for anymore, it was still a good time. And being around tens of thousands of wrestling fans is cool.
Yeah. Live wrestling and live music can both go a long way, like in entertaining. There's something about being there.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, I saw the Goo Goo Dolls a couple days ago as well. It was an outdoor show. Good band from the 90s. They're one of those rare bands because they fit into that mold of so many other bands from the 90s that had one hit.
Yeah.
But they actually had like a half a dozen big hits.
Right.
So I haven't gotten too much in the possession department. I have an update, though. So my van is back on the lawn.
Nice.
Got that sucker fixed. And the bike is currently being serviced, so those were a couple of trophies that I hadn't been able to use that are, you know, now back in the fold. So kind of been paying to fix stuff and go to things since our last show rather than acquiring new stuff. But those are a couple of the highlights for me.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've been, if I've added wrestling figures, it's for like Matt or Double T or Kevin. I'll be honest with you. I have not bought wrestling figures. I've been adding just like some hats, some different things like that. Got one of the new Owen school. They had the parent night before he started kindergarten there, and they had one of their Wildcats hats. And I'm like, oh, that looks sick. That's definitely adding it to it. Today I picked up a Trash Pandas hat that I'd been eyeballing. It was last year's like 4th of July hat, and I had it on sale. I was like, that'll work. This will come home with me. Because we had to go to the birthday party, and it was like essentially four doors down from the big Trash Panda store. So I'm like, hey, I'm going to pop in here before we leave town. I'm going to see if they got any cool Huntsville Star stuff. My son is obsessed with what he calls the robot store. It's a bricks and minifigs. It's like they have used Lego sets. They have built Lego sets. You didn't want to build them yourself. Like they have that. They have bins where you can piece fart stuff out. And I got Korg, which is one of my favorite of the Marvel movies. Like I added him because Owen likes to get a robot. And he's like, well, Dad, you need to get one too. And so I'm like, all right, yeah, I'll find one that's usually, try not to get as expensive a taste as my son has, you know, because he'll want some of them. I'm like, oh, we're not getting that. Like, I'm not paying that for a little bit of Lego. Right. No thanks. And then lately, I did a deal with a guy and I've added some old school starting lineups to the collection. I've got a baseball shelf in the office here that I'm looking at right now that I've added some, like the Fred McGriff with the Atlanta Braves. I was a big fan of the Crime Dog. Show you the unit again. As I got my Randy Johnson.
Oh, the unit. Yep.
But yeah, I added them.
Love watching the unit pitch.
Yeah. It was something about it. He exploded a bird on live television.
He was just so intimidating up there because he was huge, you know, with the big ass nasty mustache and the long hair.
Yeah. And just had a scowl at all times. That was great. Like, he looked so angry. I did hear a story about him that he's like, you know, I don't own a gun, but I do keep a basket of baseballs beside my bed. And it's basically, somebody broke in, they're going to get heaters thrown at him.
Yeah, it was bizarre seeing him. I saw a clip once. He was like awarded a drum set. This is like Randy Johnson Day. It must have either been in Arizona or Seattle. He was so overjoyed. You know, that he was given a drum set. That was cool. I didn't know he was a drummer. But it was so out of character for him to be happy looking. Because he's a guy you would not want to face. And he was one of the best I ever saw, for sure.
Yeah. That 6'10" frame. That was definitely something that you wouldn't want to see coming at you on the, like, stepping off that mound. And he could throw. It's not as insane numbers as some of these guys today, but he could throw consistently, you know, right at the 100-mile-an-hour mark. If he wanted to throw that at your head, he could throw 100 miles an hour at your head. Like, mm-hmm. Whoop. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All I've done, though, is, like, essentially added, you know, the Lego figure, added a bunch of starting lineup from the 90s. Because there's like Frank Thomas, Gary Sheffield. Like, that's the nice stuff to add to the baseball collection. Ones that I was like, oh, yeah, I loved watching this guy play. I'll add it.
Very cool.
For like $1 a piece, you can't beat that. Like, it's.
Yeah, it's not bad. Yeah, I told you I had a Juan Gonzalez and a Griffey somewhere in a fig box.
Yeah. Good time, man. Well, so. That will bring us in. You got anything you want to plug before we put a bow on this one?
Yeah, so thank you for having me guest spot here again. It's always fun filling in for Rogue here on the Tots. And speaking of Rogue, me and him, we got season 10. Crazy, we're at season 10 already of the Year of Duke and Rogue. We're covering WWF from 98 to 99. Red hot time. The Attitude Era.
Mm-hmm.
We got Austin and McMahon clashing. We're getting to right around the time of that fig line with Undertaker getting more evil, and, you know, just a great time to be covering. I think this is shaping up to be one of my favorites that we've done. So if you haven't checked it out, check it out. And then, you know, we got, of course, the Shining Wizard show, and we got the Butt Force pod as well. You guys are cruising along. You got, what, 23, 24 shows now?
We just dropped the 23rd episode this past week. I know Brundo filled in on that one. It's brought back my love of baseball. Like, I enjoy statistics and things like that and just seeing it, but it's really kind of got me watching the game and, like, the ones that do it right. Like, it really revs the engine, gets the juices going again. So.
Nice. I mean, Ted, of course.
Yes.
Absolutely. We got a little something extra from Ted kind of recently. He added some extra production to his video. I was very impressed. But always a joy hearing from Ted. That's about all I got.
Yeah, well, you could find us on the, I'll say this, you can find us on the socials at TotPod. You can find the Euro, Duke and Rogue at EuroPod on Twitter. You can find us at GBW Pods on Twitter, Instagram, at Bunk Force Pod on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, the Gorilla Brain page, ProWrestlingTees.com/GorillaBrain. Or it's GBW Pods. You can search Gorilla Brain. All of these things, we're out there hitting the street. You can get Kevin, I know, plugs, as you said, the Shining Wizards on Monday nights live. 7 Eastern, 6 Central, 5 Mountain, 4 Pacific, all those things hit all the time zones across the country. And then thanks to people like the Jays, Johnny C, Dougie Nunya, make collecting fun, make it, you know, I'm not trying to do some plug, but like they make collecting for other collectors just a good time. Like that's, and then flashback jerseys, kayfabe boys, all those guys. But that is it. We will pull it into station again. Ted, also Ted, thank you. Manny, appreciate you guys for all that you do. You are family to us. That is it. As Rogue would say, be good to one another. Support one another. Have a good day, everybody.